Tim Schultz, and this is From Theory to Practice. Welcome to the show today. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the, man, I don't even know anymore, Tuesday edition of what it is we're trying to do, man. I'm glad that you guys are here. Thank you for being here and being part of what we do, because it's only because of you all and all y'all that we can do what we do. So thank you guys so much. If you're watching over on the Tasty Live Network, then I would actually bounce over to YouTube, join the discussion, join the live commentary. You can communicate with your brethren that are also watching the show. You can ask me questions. You can troll my upcoming Tesla earnings trade. It is going to be a good time had by most. But let's pop in. Let's have a look at what the market's doing. Market's pretty happy today, man. Lots of green on the screen. If I grab my, I'm going to grab my drawing tool. We got E-mini S&Ps up 63. Got the risk-free asset, also known as the extremely high-risk NASDAQ Futures Index, up 284. The Boomers up 277. Got the Russell 2000 Futures Index leading the charts on a percentage basis, up 38, up to 2021. So the market's looking good. The market's looking strong. Everybody's ready for this Tesla earnings release later today, where Elon Musk is almost certainly going to say something really, really stupid. So we'll have to wait and see what that's going to be. But hey, you never know. It could send the market higher. You don't know. I don't know. Nobody really knows. We just have to wait and see where the wind blows us on that one. Got bonds up 11, got notes up 8, got oil up $1.36. That's looking pretty good for our little MCL futures options short strangle. We might talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. You've got gold down 5 points. Gold has been down. Man, look at gold. Gold been getting kind of hammered the last couple of days. Let me actually delete those circles. Let's go into the chart here. Let's open up the Tasty Trade charting package. So here you go. So gold was down. Yeah, it was down a lot more earlier. So it's rallied back. We were down to 2304
off to the right
at one point earlier today. And then all the shifties, man, all the shifties showed up right here. This is where all the shifties showed up with all of their, that is an F, believe it or not. These are all my shifties. They all showed up right there and they just sent that thing higher, right? Because they got price targets to meet, man. I mean, Peter Schiff's been calling for 5,000 since 1987. So they got a lot of buy orders they got to get in this market to kind of hit that target. So they did a good job rallying off of the 2300 market. So they only have about a 100% return that is now needed from this point forward. So gold is off the lows significantly, now only down 4 points, 2342. So you can still get Costco cold gold bars today. Autumn's actually at Costco right now with my kids, and she said, "Hey, do you need anything?" I said, "Yes, I need 3 things.
Let me tell you.
I need protein powder. Right, I need you to get me a gold bar at Costco." She's like, "I can get gold bars at Costco." I said, "Of course, you can get gold bars at Costco. Costco, you've always been able to get gold bars
right now
at Costco. So I'm gonna need a couple ounces, some of that Costco gold, which is probably not real gold, but nevertheless, it's probably worth a little something." So all right. So what I want to do is let's go ahead and let's do. Let's see here. Let's do. We're going to do the Tesla earnings trade. We are going to, I see some people in the chat saying that somebody's left their mic on.
I emptied a bunch.
So John, maybe take a look and see if there's a mic on in the studio. Hopefully you guys can hear me.
Up top next to the green case.
Other than the voices that are inside your own head. Maybe that's the other voice
that you might
be hearing me, that you might be hearing today. So anyway, I wanted to do a Tesla earnings trade today. We're going to kind of comb the streets of the portfolio just a wee little bit. And then we'll get to y'all's questions. We'll get to your questions and we'll get to as many as we can. And then we'll just kind of see where things are going from there.
Over onto the top shelf as well. Moved a bunch of empty boxes up there.
There's some things that you guys can hear. I can't hear anything. Oh, they said they fixed it. Okay, thank you, John. That's great. Because now I was like curious. People were like, "What are you guys hearing? I want to hear what you guys are hearing." So anyway, so you guys are left with just me for the rest of the show. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's see. I want to do the Tesla earnings trade first. Because I'm afraid that if we... I'm afraid that if we go off the reservation for too long with the other positions, that we will forget the Tesla earnings trade that I had ready to go. So Tesla, TSLA, they have earnings later today. So if I go ahead and bring up the overview, you can see that Tesla has earnings today, 4:23 after the bell. So Tesla today after the bell. Let me know, how are you guys playing? How are you guys playing Tesla tonight? I would love to know. Let me know in the chat box. You're going to play it higher. You're going to play it lower. Obviously, I'm going to give you all my pick here in just a couple of minutes. so that you can fade it and make yourself a whole bunch of money to do whatever you want to do with it. Like, you'll be able to do so many things with the stacks of cash that I'm going to provide for you by doing the exact opposite of my trade. So 423 after the bell, that is today. So what are we going to do? Well, I was looking at, you know, I got to be honest with you guys, man. I was looking over the different options. Like, I was looking over the different things that we could do for Tesla earnings after the bell today. And I was like, man, you know, we could do an iron condor, right? You guys know I love iron condors. You do iron condor. Do a vertical spread. You could buy an at-the-money vertical spread. You could sell an out-of-the-money vertical spread. You can do whatever you want to do. We could, you know, maybe even sell a strangle. Maybe even do a little something like that. But I was like, you know, it's just, it's calling me home, man. It's calling me home like a like an old, distant family member. It's calling me home like one of my best friends from middle school that I haven't talked to in 35 years. I looked at the different strategies. I was like, man, you got to go with the expected move butterfly. How can you not go with the expected move butterfly? Take a look at this expected move butterfly that we've been looking at earlier today that I have ready for you all here on the program. You can only find this on the Tasty Live Network. It's so cheap. They're just giving these things away. They're just like the gold bars at Costco. They're just giving these things away. So if you go ahead, I'm pretty sure if you buy enough toothpaste, you get a free gold bar at Costco. I'm pretty sure that's the promotion that they're running right now, at least in St. Pete. If we look at Tesla at 145, don't love Tuesday expecting move butterflies. You guys know that, right? Thursday is that's your prime pickings day. That's your day to do an expecting move butterfly. So obviously we've got some things lined up and ready to go for Thursday's show. But this on Tuesday still sets up too beautifully to ignore. So what I want to do is I'm going to buy, let's see here, we're going to do, so I started out looking at this. So when I was looking at the different strikes, I was like, all right, I want to sell right on the edge of the expected move to the upside, of course. I was like, I want to sell the 157 and a half strike. So I started off by, you know, selling that strike. And then I was like, all right, how wide do I want to go on both sides? Then I looked at the option chain that's available. And I was like, well, we have a little bit, there's a little bit of jankiness going on here in this option chain. So if you look at the strikes above the 157 and a half, we've got 2.5 point wide strikes, which is perfectly fine, of course. But then you start looking at the strikes that are below 157 and a half. And it's just, I mean, it's just a mess. I mean, look at this thing, man. You got 2.5 point wides. You got dollar point wides. I think there's a 50 cent wider in there, you know, just kind of tucked underneath that 145 strike. And so there's just all kinds of stuff, you know, that you have to kind of contend with. And I was like, all right, so what am I going to do? Am I going to do like an unbalanced expected move butterfly? Like, I don't love it. Like, it's not my favorite strategy of all time. That's for sure. But I was like, well, let's just take a look at it. So if I did like a 157, these are going to be the guts. I'm going to sell two of these. And then what if I bought like a 165 and then I bought, you know, like a 150? This actually sets up okay because you're symmetric on both sides. So if I look at, let me highlight the middle, we sell the guts and the, boom, there you go. I mean, look at this, man. I mean, seriously, they're just giving this thing away. Like, it's already given. It's already a known quantity, right? It's already a known value in the equation. I am going to light this stack of cash on fire. We already know that's going to happen. But man, at $1.09, I mean, how can you not light it on fire? Like, at $1.09, like, are you really going to be that upset when it gets lit on fire because I led you into the dumpster fire that is this upside butterfly? You really can't be at this point. It's only $1.09. So I was looking at this. I mean, it's $1.11 now. It's kind of, you know, it's increasing. Elon may have just tweeted something out. So when I look at this, I'm like, we're 7.5 points wide. I really like everything about this strategy. So then I just got to thinking. I just got to doing a little magic on the option chain, just kind of working some strikes, just kind of seeing what Anton can get for me behind the scenes, kind of negotiating with all the high frequency traders. And I was like, man, what if we push this a little bit? So what if I stay at 157 and a half, but what if now I go $10 wide? So instead of being, you know, right now we're 150, 157 and a half, 165 for all of my audio only listeners out there, Tesla at 145. What if I push the upside strike from 165 to 167 and a half. So now I'm 10 points wide on the upside. Now I also need to push the downside strike down a little bit to kind of make this a little bit symmetric. But again, look at what I'm missing, right? I've got a 147. I've got a 148. The problem is there is no 147.5. That is what I need. That is what I would require to really balance this thing out. So, you know, just kind of picking a strike. I mean, we're only talking about a 50 cent difference. It's not a huge difference. If I bought, you know, the 148 So now what I've done is I've widened out my profit zone, right? I've widened out where I can make a little bit of money. In fact, man, I've gotten emails over the last few days. I get emails about this, and I've gotten emails about this for 8.5 years, right? From the first day I started on the Tasty Network, I've been emailed about this almost every single day, multiple times per day. And we've still only managed to pull up the curve view maybe 3 times in the history of Theory to Practice. Well, this is about to be number 4. Because if I bring up the curve view, yes, that's right, it's actually happening, and I click on the analysis tab, let me move this over just a titch so we can kind of see things a bit more easily. If you look at, you know, where I was at 150. Let me move my, now you'll have to excuse my inexperience with the curve view, but we'll figure it out. If you look at the original upside butterfly that I had, 150, 157 and a half, 165, right? Everything is looking pretty good. This is the one that we had. It's $1.10 on the debit. Okay. What I was going to do was push this to widen it out a little bit to increase the profit zone. So what I want to do is kind of, you know, I kind of want to increase this green region. Like, let's see if we can widen that out just a wee little bit, like nothing crazy. But right now you can see my max profit is 644. Now, again, the max profit, I have to pin the short strike. It has to be expiration. So I'm just looking for some reasonable amount of that. You know, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, 40% would be amazing. That'd be an amazing trade in my estimation. Well, if I push up the upside strike to 167.5, and then I push down the downside strike to, let's just say, you know, 147, you're going to see here that it's a little bit, you know, it's a little, we've introduced a bit of our own jankiness. To combat the jankiness that's already in the market, not giving us the strikes that we require to put on the strategy that we want. So, I mean, that's the only way to fight jankiness with more jankiness. So if you look at this, we're 10.5 points wide on the downside because we're 147 call and 157.5 call on the guts, of course. And then on the upside, we're 157.5 to 167.5. And so what I've done is I've essentially doubled the debit that I have to pay. It's at 213. And the max profit is 837. If I actually move that to 148 instead, yeah, that actually looks a lot better. So now the debit's only $1.68, $1.70, max profit of 782. But again, the max loss is not equal to the debit paid because you have a little bit more risk on the upside now if Tesla misses the mark to the upside. And it's been beaten down pretty badly the last however many weeks and months. And so, I mean, is Tesla really going to miss this thing to the upside? I don't think so. And so when I look at this situation, which of course is code for, it's absolutely going to happen. And so when I look at this, this looks good, but I was like, man, we can make this even better, right? We can make this even better today, right now, for the one time ultra low cost of 3 easy payments of $39.95. So if we do this now, here is what I can do for you guys. We can bring the 148 all the way down to 145, and then we take the 167.5 all the way up to 170. And look at this, man. It is a thing of beauty. So we have expanded our profit zone to where now we have a max profit of 954, which again, I'm not going for that. We're just going for some percentage of that. My max loss is still only about $3. It's a little bit under $3, which that's kind of my sweet spot for the size of the stack of cash that I feel comfortable lighting on fire. And so here, my max loss is $3. My max profit is $9.50, so I'm a little over 3 to 1 in terms of the, you know, profit per risk. When I view maximum scenarios, this all looks pretty good. So this is what we're going to do, and I'm going to push this through, but this is not the end of the story. Because as I thought about this, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm feeling good. The weather, man, it's beautiful outside. It's 81 degrees. There's no humidity in the air. The sun is out. There's not a cloud in the sky. It is the perfect, perfect day. So I thought, how can we light 2 stacks of cash on fire for just 1 earnings trade? And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to push this out. Let's get this filled. Let's get the first stack solidified. We'll do, you know, 297. Man, we've been on the curve view for 10 minutes. It's unbelievable. All right, 297. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I actually want to finance. Let me go back to the table view. Ah, it's like a breath of fresh air. I want to finance that trade so that just in case there's kind of a non-event in Tesla, where Tesla just kind of meanders around where it is and we don't get an up move, but we don't really get much of a down move. I want to put ourselves in a position to where we can offset some of the cost of that butterfly. Because again, the butterfly is going to expire Friday, so we need this move by Friday. And oh, by the way, quick little disclaimer, you know, tomorrow I'm with Arrow for today's assignment. And so if I can hold this trade to Thursday and things are looking okay, then I'll hold it to Thursday. But if something, but if the trade works out and I'm able to take it off for a profit, then I will be taking this off air. And then of course we will revisit this the next time that we are on air together. But if you follow my trades on, you know, Tasty Live, then you'll see these things. And inside the Tasty Trade platform, of course, you'll see these things happen as they happen in real time. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm at JSchultzF3. I also will post and tweet and retweet and repost about all the different goings on that might be happening with this trade. So I want to go into June. So we're going way out there, 59 days to go. I'm going to do a little leap option to finance this butterfly. So I'm going to sell a 140. Oh man, look at this. We can sell. We're going to use the jankiness to our benefit right here. So we're going to sell a 140, 133 and a third strike in Tesla in the June cycle with 59 days to go. We're collecting 257 for it. So that's almost the full cost of the butterfly. And our maximum loss is only $400. And so, of course, you know, we're going to light both these stacks of cash on fire. It's only 1% here, 1% there. It's not that big of a deal. But in the event that they both work, this is going to be great. But even in the event that, like, the butterfly doesn't go anywhere and the stock doesn't go anywhere, this trade is going to be in a good position. Now, again, it's much longer in duration, so there's a lot more things that are going to happen over the life of this trade. I don't necessarily anticipate that we'll take this off either way this week, even though, you know, Tesla earnings are tonight and the butterfly expires on Friday. We'll probably be leaving this trade on in some capacity for probably several weeks, at least moving forward with 59 days to go. So I like this a lot, though, because we're basically risking, what, 1.5 to make one on this Tesla trade. So both of these trades are part of the same package, right? This is a common thing that we like to do with strategies where, you know, we pay for one strategy and then we try to finance it with another strategy. Or maybe we, you know, have some sort of risk on one side of the market and we try to offset that with, you know, additional risk on the other side of the market or even the same side of the market. So either way you look at it, again, this is going to be two stacks of cash. I can smell the tinge of fire that has already started. The smoke is in the air. So we only have a couple hours to go. Is Tesla right after the bell? By the way, somebody let me know. Is Tesla right after the bell? I would like to know if Tesla is going to be reporting right after the bell, right at 4 o'clock. So let me go ahead, let's push this guy out. And so let's see if we can get filled on this really quick. And then we're right about the halfway part of the show. This is when I like to go to the questions. So we're going to do that now. And I want to see where you guys are at. Somebody let me know who that heard earlier that was kind of performing a duet with yours truly. So Tesla earnings, we have a butterfly. We also have a short put spread that we are using to finance said butterfly. And so let's go ahead and let's do some questions. If you guys have a question for me, drop it in the chat box and I will try to get to it as quickly as I can. And so let's see here. We got, all right, where are you guys at? Jesse Seymour is in the house. What's going on there, Jesse? I appreciate you, my friend. I just sent you back that email. And Jesse has aspirations to kind of buffer up and bolster up his understanding of the markets with more of an academic foundation. And so I sent him one of the textbooks that I used to use with my MBA students when I used to teach investments, an investments class at the MBA level. I used a Bodie, Cain, and Marcus textbook that was actually quite good. I actually liked it a lot. Now, you know, academia has its limitations and textbooks are very different from the real world, but still, I think they can serve a really, really nice function in building up a foundation and kind of filling in some of the, you know, cracks between the bricks. Give you a little bit of mortar to work with. So Jesse, I really hope that helps you, my friend. And it's always my pleasure. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here and what I'm trying to do with From Theory to Practice and all these different things. And so wow, look at the NASDAQ up 300, man. Look at this risk-free asset. Unbelievable. Up almost 2%. Well, about 1.5% on the day. Look at the Russell up 40, almost up 2%. Got the boomers working on their third honey of the day. Again, got to be careful of those blood sugar spikes. Doing a pretty nice job. Got ES up 65. That's some good stuff. So, all right. So let's go in. MR is in the house. What's going on there, MR? It could be my mother-in-law. Her initials are MR. So I'm going to say it's only about a 5 or 10 delta, but you never know. You never know who finds the program. So MR says, hey, Dr. Jim, I'm pretty new to options trading. It could be my mother-in-law. And I was wondering, do you need to be able to understand all the math equations involved with options I feel like I can grasp the concepts behind them. Oh, this is such a good question. MR goes on to say, for instance, in my mind, time decay makes sense because there's less time for the underlying stock to move, which makes the option less risky. At least that's how my brain interprets it. MR goes on to say, however, when I see the actual math behind it, then it might as well be Greek to me. Okay. So this is an excellent question. So when it comes to everything, and this is actually, you know, this is like, this is a soapbox worthy answer, I think. So when it comes to every single concept that exists in the world of finance, not even just trading or investments, but every concept in finance, like corporate finance, where they're doing like net present values and they're like, you know, LIFOing and FIFOing the beans in the warehouse, like stuff like that. It's all the same, although I don't know how you could possibly grab onto the intuition behind LIFOing and FIFOing the beans, but somebody's doing it. When it comes to all these concepts, they all have one of two explanations, both of which can get you to the destination wherever you're trying to go. There's a mathematical understanding and there's an intuitive understanding. So there's a mathematical foundation behind every single element of the markets, like time decay, for example. There's also an intuitive understanding and foundation of every single element of the marketplace. Now, in order to really fully understand all aspects of all the things that you might want to do, yes, you would want to have a really good handle on both of those, you know, explanatory powers, right? Intuitive, mathematical, right? Intuition and math. You would want to be able to, you know, understand both routes as they are taken to get to the destination. That's if you want to have like where you really fully understand everything. Is that required? Absolutely not. Instead of taking that path, I always encourage people. I used to encourage my students all the time. I'm like, sometimes you'll see a metric or a variable, or you'll see a problem that's in front of you in the markets and, you know, in the options world, whatever. And you'll just naturally gravitate to one of the two pathways forward through the forest. The intuitive pathway might make sense. The mathematical pathway might make sense. You don't have to always discount the mathematical pathway like sight unseen. It might make sense to you. You just never know. You might surprise yourself. It doesn't matter which pathway you take forward as long as the logic, the rationale, the mathematics are sound as they get you to the destination. Now, by and large, I would say that the intuitive understanding is usually easier for people that don't really have a strong mathematical background or a strong mathematical skill set. Of course, the intuitive understanding is likely going to appeal to you most of the time, and it's going to jump out at you more quickly than the mathematical understanding would. But they're both there, and they can both work. So, MR, I would absolutely encourage you to continue to follow the intuitive pathway forward through the forest as you are approaching these different things, like time decay, like extrinsic value, like, you know, option pricing, you know, whatever it might be. So right now it seems like you are gravitating to that intuitive pathway forward through the forest. I would keep doing that. There's no reason not to do that. But as you grow and as you mature and as you become a better trader and you gain experience in all these things, you're probably going to be exposed to mathematics. And you're also probably going to surprise yourself at how well you're able to grab onto these things, even if you don't fully understand them. Just being immersed, being exposed to these different things for, you know, extended periods of time, you'd be kind of shocked at what you pick up just through osmosis. Like, you'd be a little bit surprised at what kind of seeps into your, you know, your skin cells just by kind of being around these different things. And who wouldn't want the Black Scholes model seeping into their skin cells? I mean, that's what I strive for almost every single day. So, MR, hopefully that helps you a little bit. But really great question. And of course, if I can ever help you in any way, please just let me know. It's my absolute pleasure to do so, however I can. So let's see. So Dean Berlin's in the house. He says, I'm short Tesla. Oh, you're golden now. Oh, I mean, you are absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's pure gold. That's Costco gold. Like, you are Costco golden at this point. So do the opposite of me and you'll be fine. Oh, we have reached an interesting spot there, Dean, because you need to do the opposite of me. And that is printing money. That is Jerome Powell printing press without even the inflationary effects. Like, it actually has a deflationary effect. That's how solid it is. Doing the opposite of my trade. So if we're also trying to do the opposite of your trades, apparently we should have just played Tesla neutral, I think. I think that might be the ticket. So Dean, I hope it works out for you and that I really hope mine works out for me. And so you get absolutely crushed. But thank you for being here. I appreciate you, my friend, very much. So John Stein's in the house. What's going on there, John? John says Tesla, Jade Lizard, A 130 put, 150, 155 call spread. Possibly, sure. Let's go ahead. Let's give it a look. Let's see if I'm in Tesla. I go to the trade page. I'm just going to pick May only because I already have some, I already have that short vertical that's on in June. So let me pick May here really quick. You said a 130 put and then a 150, 155 call spread. Yeah, that looks pretty good. That looks pretty solid. I mean, the buying power effect is pretty, why is the buying power effect so high? Wow, they've really ratcheted up the margin on Tesla. It's only a $100 stock. That's pretty, that's interesting. Huh. You've got Tesla at $145 a share. And the margin on a naked put at the 130 strike is $4,500. So if I grab my drawing tools here, you can see right here. That's $4,500. That's pretty significant. I mean, is Tesla a meme stock now? I mean, Tesla's always kind of been a meme stock, I guess, having Elon, you know, have the controls there. And so it's finally caught up with us in terms of the buying power being quite significant. So I'm going to pass down this, John, because I've already done my earnings trade in Tesla. But if somebody else, I mean, this looks really, really good. In fact, you know what, guys, we're going to do it twice. If we take a look at this on the curve view, that's right. If I click on my analysis tab, you can see that, oh, well, hold on a second. Now you want to see some jankiness. Look at that. I mean, that, you got a little Mount Rushmore going on here on the curve view. And so we've got all kinds of stepwise functions and just all kinds of, you know, jump functions and all kinds of stuff. But if I go in here, I think what I need to do is I need to uncheck. Let's just look at the trade that we are considering. So I'm going to uncheck all the rigmarole that I have on. And so this will be just the Jade Lizard. Yeah, that's what I wanted to see. So obviously you have a naked put on the downside. So you have risk, unlimited risk to the downside. But man, like I said, Tesla's been just beaten down so badly as of late. It's like, how much worse can it get? I could probably get a whole lot worse. But again, I mean, at a certain point, you would think that there would be some type of bottom there. Not that anyone knows where it is, myself included. But anywhere in the middle here is going to be a great outcome for you. And then, of course, even if, you know, the stock rallies up through 150, 155, you're still in line to make a decent little profit. Now, one of the things that I've learned with Jade Lizard is we've done a couple just in the last couple of months with EMPH and some other different stocks is one thing that's really fascinating is if you were to do this trade and Tesla rallies really hard off of the earnings call, you're actually going to be much more profitable than this graph would suggest because this graph is pointing forward to the expiration date. And so if you have a situation where Tesla rallies really hard, you know, after the number and you land somewhere like 160 or 165, whatever, you're going to see the short put that you sold, that thing is going to collapse in value because the extrinsic value is going to bleed off of that option. The proximity effect is getting much, much weaker because the stock is moving really far away from where the strike price is. And so you kind of have that charm effect, which just absolutely suppresses the extrinsic value on the option. So that's going to be good for you because you sold that put, of course. But the short call spread, so this 150, 155, it is going to not cling to its value because if it clung to its value, then it would actually potentially increase in value. In order for the call spread to reach maximum value, the short call spread, in order for that to reach maximum value, you have to be all the way to expiration. So like, for example, let me just kind of, this is such a good question though, John. And I think we're able to find and unearth a couple of teachable moments in here. Even if I'm not going to do the trade, I still think this could be really helpful. If I delete the short put leg. If I just had a short call spread, the reason why I'm doing this is I want to isolate the cost of the short call spread. So if Tesla rallies hard off the number tonight, then you're going to see a really nice profit, more so than what was predicted, or not predicted, but more so than what was shown by the graph that we just saw on the curve view, because that's at expiration. Why is that the case? Well, there's two reasons why that's the case. Number one, the short put is going to collapse in value, as we already talked about. But number two, this short call spread that you're selling today for $1.90 or $1.93, whatever it ends up being, that's part of the Jade Lizard, it is going to increase in value, of course, because the stock is going to be rallying. So it might increase to $2.50 or $3 or whatever. But it's not going to come anywhere near $5, its maximum value. Because in order for it to get to maximum value, it needs to be at expiration and fully in the money. So unless Tesla rallies like 40 or 50 points tonight and goes super deep in the money, then that's where your profitability might collapse down to what we saw on the curve view there. But chances are, John, or anyone else that might be interested in a trade like this, I mean, I'm playing Tesla to the upside, so I agree with the directional bias, which means you need to do the opposite. If Tesla does rally off the number tonight, then it's going to be a pretty good outcome on a Jade Lizard. Jade Lizards are good strategies, man. It's almost like Liz and Jenny might know what they're doing. It's almost like Liz and Jenny have been doing this for a minute, and we should probably all just be listening to them. So, John, great question. Let's see. Paul Heyman says, any plans to upgrade your studio with luxury vinyl? Man, that's a great question, Paul. It's an excellent question. So I'm in my little studio here. It's a little 8x10, which, you know, sometimes it feels larger, sometimes it feels smaller. And so, you know, I really like it. I mean, it's equipped with all the things that I need to be able to, you know, produce a really, you know, good looking show for you guys and give you guys a good end product. When we were moving down to Florida, and I told my wife, I said, hey, we're moving down here. Like, got to build the studio in the backyard. I'm not doing this in the bedroom where Amelia's, you know, running through the house and she's screaming and she's playing her ukulele. She's doing all these things. I said, we're not doing that, right? So we built this little thing in the backyard. Well, I mean, there was nothing here. We had to build it from the ground up and equip it with like electricity and just all that stuff. Well, obviously, you know, the builders were like, hey, what kind of floor do you want in here? I'm like, man, I want the thickest carpet that you can possibly find. Like, give me some shag stuff. The guy's like, you serious? Like, you don't want hardwoods in here or luxury vinyl or whatever? I said, no, I want carpet. I want thick, thick carpet because I need to be able to absorb the sound. Right? I mean, I was pulling my hair out. I was just going crazy trying to get the audio quality in the studio to a decent amount. And it still kind of frustrates me to this day because Zoom really suppresses the audio quality quite a bit. And so the carpeting in here, Paul, has to stay. There is no scenario where we get luxury vinyl in the studio, but I appreciate you, my friend. I appreciate you, my friend. We got plenty of luxury vinyl in the house. So Eric Duvall, I see you have a Netflix play. What is it? Yes, this was the $15 wide Iron Condor that we did on the show. I believe it was just yesterday. We did this $15 wide Iron Condor to take advantage of, wow, look at Netflix, up huge today. To take advantage of the Ivy rank still being pretty elevated in Netflix. And so today we're getting hurt a little bit, you know, down 45 cents on the day, 40 cents in total, but a little bit of vol suppression from the rally is of course helping, you know, this Iron Condor. And so don't love Iron Condors. In fact, I kind of hate Iron Condors, but the fact that this is wider, $15 wide, I mean, you're kind of tapping into some of the short strangle features and benefits, which is good. And so we were able to do this. We did that on the show yesterday, Eric. You can go back and watch it in the archives if you want to see me kind of work through the analysis and, you know, select the strikes and stuff like that. So Wanderer's in the house. What's going on there, Wanderer? Hey, Dr. Jim. We just got the electric tractor print here in New Zealand. I mean, that's the one. That's the one that we're all waiting for. It's every Tuesday at 11:09. You get that electric tractor print coming off of New Zealand. It's not looking great. Obviously so, with the market now up, you know, 300 pretty much across the board. Put butterflies in Tesla. Nah, man, call butterflies in Tesla. This is the way, surely. We can hear someone speaking in the background. Oh, so this is when we had the hot mic situation. And so no, Wanderer, we are going to play it to the upside. So the fact that you just naturally wanted to play it opposite of me without knowing that it was going to be opposite of me basically means that you're golden. It basically means you have a bar of Costco gold in your back pocket right now, and you don't even know it. Like, you do not even know it. And so, all right, so let's see. We got a lot of hot mic commentary, as there should be. And so let's see. See, Parsifal. I think I got that right. Parsifal Paints. Yes, P-Paints, I think I just refer to you as. I remember you being in the stream before. Thank you for coming back there, P-Paints. Good afternoon, Dr. Jim. I'm in the Netflix strangle that Tom put on. And I can't help you with that. You got to talk to him about that. But I was able to collect $800 in credit for a $300 wide strangle. And the open PLL 500 plus should exit the trade. Should I exit the trade with a 50% profit? And so, yes, you should. You absolutely should. And so, I mean, there's only one trade that has a lower success rate than following me. And it's following Tom. And so the fact that you have a profit from following Tom, I would 100% bank that profit now. I would not hold the trade any longer. I mean, you've already gotten to, you know, the profit you're looking for. Like, I don't know what you want out of the trade, but usually 50% of max profit is like the upper bound of what we usually target. So you're already there. I would just cash it in and I would move on. And so let's see. Nelson, too many going long on Tesla, maybe short Tesla. Yeah. You know, I mean, I am a Johnny Public at heart. So, you know, what can I tell you? So John Pemble says, placed a broken wing call butterfly for a 5 cent credit. There you go. That's nice. The broken wings are kind of nice because they allow you to kind of, you know, get a credit for taking a directional bias, which, you know, you can't always do. I mean, I guess you could do that with vertical spreads and things like that. But yes, I mean, call butterflies or any type of broken wing butterfly is nice because it can be an omnidirectional trade where, you know, if the market moves against you, then you basically are you know, in line for that credit that you collect on entry. But if the market moves in the direction that you kind of want it to ultimately, then you could potentially make even more if you hold on to the trade and if you give it a chance to, you know, come around that strike. And so that looks pretty good there, John. Let's see. Jeff Haas says the best way to play Tesla is to not play it at all. There's a lot of wisdom right there. There's a whole lot of wisdom right there. So Crusader Trader says my Tesla trade is tiny. A single calendar, 4 and 11, 137 puts. I filled this morning at $1.05. I like it, man. You know, I've mentioned this before on the show, but we haven't talked about it here in a few days. I mean, typically with calendar spreads, you know, I'm still kind of more traditional, more kind of old school, like a 2-to-1 ratio where the front month has about 30 days and the back month has about 60 days. But I know that, you know, my own brethren on the network, like a Liz and Jenny, like a Nick and Mike and Katie, like they're doing a lot of crazy things with, like, you know, 3 days on the front month and 10 days on the back month and crab trades and all these other things. So I'm excited to start to dip my toe in those waters, you know, as, you know, the calendar moves forward here and we proceed into, you know, May and June, July and all those things. But the futures options has been such a, man, I don't even know what the right word is. I guess it's been quite an investment on my end in a good way, in a very, very good way. Like the time and the, you know, the intent on the futures options positions has been awesome. Like, I think we've learned a lot with, you know, MNQ, MES, and MCL. I mean, I'll pull all those guys up right now. MCL's now actually up like 30 cents on MCL. That's crazy. So obviously MES and MNQ are both benefiting from this really strong rally today. And so that is really beneficial as well. But we're going to get to all those things later on this year, the crabs and the calendar spreads and Delta Busters. I mean, I have all these things on my list. And so assuming Amelia didn't like draw pictures all over the list, which that's about a 65 Delta. So hopefully we can still make out the list that I originally had there. So Jonathan Sims, but I like it there, Crusader Trader. I think it could be a fun little trade for you for earning. Calendars for earnings are interesting trades that I haven't really done a whole lot with. I know Liz and Jenny like to do these a lot. And so that would make a lot of sense as to why you have a 411 kind of right around earnings right now. And so that's a really interesting way to play earnings. I think with potentially a lot, pretty low risk profile, similar to an expected move butterfly in that regard. And so let's see, Jonathan Sims, I have an old iron condor currently being tested on the put side. Elon, save me. Those are famous last words. Like when you're in a situation where you're like, man, Elon, I'm going to need you, man. I need you on Twitter right now. I need you to be pumping this sock. I need you to be saving my position. Like that is almost always a really, really bad situation to be in. So Jonathan, I hope that it helps you, my friend, and I hope you're able to get where you're trying to go. So let's see, sell the premiums to somebody's moving boxes as a side job after severe options losses. That must have been on the hot mic, which that's pretty funny. Jesse Seymour says, what is a butterfly? I haven't gotten that far into the different strategies yet. Yes. Still just trading vertical spreads and iron condors. There you go. That's a great place to start. It's a great place to start. What I would do, obviously, I mean, we've only got a couple minutes left in the show. What I would do, Jesse, is I would Google Tasty. I mean, if you Google Tasty, from theory to practice, butterfly, I mean, you're going to be hit with a million different shows that you could watch. You could also do, you know, you could do Tasty Market Measures Butterfly, Tasty Option Trading Concepts Live Butterfly. Like, I wouldn't just marry yourself to the way I explain things because there's certainly going to be shortcomings and there's going to be, you know, confusing ways that I explain things where, you know, somebody else might come in like a Mike, like a Nick. I mean, not a Tom, but like somebody else might come in and explain it much, much more easily than I would. It's simpler than I would. And so I would encourage you to hit it from a few different angles, right? Tony Batista might pop in and explain it, you know, in a really, really easy to digest way. And so I would encourage you to, you know, just Google Tasty Butterfly and then different show titles. And then it will, you know, it will populate with, you know, a few different angles on a butterfly. I think that will give you a very, very well-rounded understanding of that strategy. And so that's what I would do. And so Dean Berlin says, light it on fire, man. Let's go. I'm ready. And so Jonathan Sims says, wider, baby. That's where it's at. 12.5 points wide on this Tesla butterfly. Man, let's go. I'm ready. I'm absolutely 100% ready on this, on these Tesla trades. I've got my matches, got my lighter fluid. Man, let's do it. So Crusader Trader, oh, here we go. Says, imagine an iron condor where the closer to the money strikes in each direction was the same strike. So the shape of the analysis chart looks like a triangle instead of a trapezoid. And then Jesse says, thanks, that helps. Yes, that does help, especially if you happen to be kind of geometrically oriented. Like if, you know, trapezoids and like, you know, obtuse triangles and like things like that make sense to you, then thinking about it in those terms can absolutely be helpful. I mean, Crusader Trader absolutely nailed it in terms of the understanding, you know, kind of weaving in. I didn't necessarily expect to be met with a trapezoid comment today, but nevertheless, here we are, right? With 60 seconds left to go in the show, we got there. So that's some good stuff. And so Crusader Trader says, I've got one up right now. I got the curve view up. That's right. We're doing things. And y'all need to stop emailing me about this curve view. We did it. And so I've now fulfilled my 2024 quota. So let's see. What is the buying power? Oh, Parsifal. Parsifal. I think I got it. Parsifal. The buying power on the butterfly was only the cost of the butterfly. And so, you know, by keeping it symmetric on both sides, the buying power is just going to be wherever the debit that you pay for it is. And so let's see. Can we get to one more really quick? Ooh, here we go. Omid A at the very end. I just kind of scrolled down because I know I've got 20 seconds left. Omid A says, Dr. Jim, what are your thoughts on technical analysis of charts? Yes. So I am of the camp that I don't know how much help it's going to give you. I don't necessarily, I'm not throwing shade. I'm not hating on people who like to use charts, all that kind of stuff. I'm just not so sure that, you know, it's going to be super, super helpful. Now, there may be one or two things that I'm going to keep to myself that are lock, stock, and barrel, Stone Cold Steve Austin certified. I'm like, all right, that always works. But other than that, I think most of it's probably not going to be useful for you. And so that would be, you know, that would be my comment on that. I think starting with a quantitative base that's probabilistically driven is always going to be a better start than starting with something that's, you know, technical or fundamental. I think add in technicals and fundamentals later, but start with that quantitative probability-based foundation. I think that'll be a really, really good start. So, guys, I'm out of time. I got to run. I got to get you guys to Jamal, but I appreciate you guys. And I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for being here, being a part of what we are doing. It really, really means the world to me. I'm so humbled that so many of you guys watch the show on a regular basis. So thank you guys so much. If I can ever help you guys in any way, please email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com. Or we can connect on Twitter. I'm @jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys over there as well. But stay tuned. We do have Jamal coming up next with Engineering the Trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, trade them heavy, and stay grateful. See you guys tomorrow.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducer.